Well, hello, my medical sales friends. Those of you who are professionals, those who want to be professionals, and those of you who would just like to have a bigger impact in your territory so you could do more, sell more, and earn more, that's what we're about, and hopefully that's why you're here, because that's what I want to talk to you about today. My name is Mace Haroff. You're listening to the Medical Sales Guru podcast, and as always, I have something important that I want to talk to you about. It has been a wild and crazy week. The last week. Now, this may or may not be true for you, depending on what part of the country you live in. But for me, living in South Florida, for my Floridian friends, you know what I'm talking about. And also those of you in the Southeast, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina. This is October of 2016. And last week, we had a visit from Hurricane Matthew. And fortunately for most of us, Matthew was minimally effective. Actually, Matthew was an ass-kicking storm and scared the hell out of all of us who've been through hurricanes before. But he was nice enough to stay just offshore. His damage was minimal for most of us. And unfortunately, there were some people who lost their lives. And up in the Carolinas, they had flooding and damage. It's never a good situation when you have a hurricane. But you always have to be prepared. And I try to extrapolate lessons that come from life and apply it to medical sales. It's so true, even when you don't feel like preparing. Let me tell you, if you've ever been through a hurricane and you've ever had to put shutters up on your house, this is not a simple procedure. Now, if you have the fancy motorized Rouladen shutters, or even if you have the accordion shutters, which you just close them, it makes it a lot simpler. But when you have the shutters that you have to take and screw them to the wall, this is a multi-hour event, and it's not a lot of fun. And there were a lot of people who didn't want to do it. But why did they do it? Because the ramifications of not doing it are much more frightening than the labor and the pain involved with putting up the shutters. Because if you don't put up your shutters and you get hit by a hurricane, especially one of the magnitude of Matthew. Matthew was forecast to come ashore as a Category 3 or a Category 4 storm. This is something that can produce catastrophic damage. So if you're thinking about a storm that powerful, what you don't want it to do is breach the walls of your home. Because if it does, you're probably going to lose your roof. And once you lose your roof, you're going to lose your house and everything that's in it. And that might include you and your loved ones. So when you consider that not putting up the shutters is a lot worse than the pain of putting up the shutters, you do it. You prepare. You go out and you do the shopping. You buy the water. You come up with canned foods to eat. You make sure you have enough toilet paper, batteries, and you dreadfully consider what life is going to be like when you lose your power and after the hurricane, but you do what needs to be done. Again, because the penalty for not doing it is much worse than the pain of doing it. What you do, my friends, is no different. Medical sales is something that if you don't take the necessary preparations, the results, the outcomes can be catastrophic. Now, what qualifies as catastrophic in the medical device world? Well, certainly from the perspective of what your job is, what you get paid to do, which is sell your product, not making the sale, is it catastrophic? Well, it depends. If you lose the sale with a significant customer, that could be catastrophic in terms of how it impacts your business moving forward. But what if you're not prepared because you really don't understand how to use the product, or you're not prepared in terms of being able to train others how to effectively and properly and safely use your product? Then you are again risking a catastrophic outcome if they don't use it correctly, if a patient is harmed. There's so many different ways you can look at this. But why don't people prepare? People don't prepare for one reason. Well, for I shouldn't say that. There's multiple reasons. But the main one reason I'm going to talk about is because preparation is painful. Lift the shutters and risk dropping them and cutting off a few toes, which has been known to happen frequently. In fact, just a side note, the most injuries that occur in the typical hurricane are from people putting up and taking down shutters. So the preparation I'm talking about in medical sales, it's not that painful, it's not that risky, but yet it's painful from the standpoint of when you come home from work, when you're tired, when you're stressed, when you just want to relax and do something else. You want to be with your family. You want to go to the gym. You want to watch something on TV. It's painful from the standpoint that it would take you away from things that you would rather be doing. Is that physically painful? No. Is it mentally painful? I believe that it is. So this is what holds people back from wanting to do that, those preparations. And it just has to be done. So here's the thing. If you don't do the preparations, if you don't prepare and plan and study and learn and practice the skills that are going to enable you to succeed, at some point you are going to find yourself in a situation that will be both quantifiably and qualitatively painful, such as a small paycheck, such as watching a competitor steal your business, such as having your job threatened if you don't hit quota the following quarter. This can become painful. So the best way to avoid that is to really take the time to prepare. Now, I got to tell you, preparation is not something that I planned on talking to you about, but it just came about organically when I was talking about what I experienced and about 11 million of my closest friends in Florida last week during Hurricane Matthew. What I really want to talk to you about today is the other thing that made it an interesting week is our presidential election. And it is really the presidential election that has some lessons that I want to share with you. Now, I'm going to try very hard not to get political here. And I think that's important because, number one, I respect everyone's right to favor and vote for the candidate who they see as being best for our country moving forward. I may not agree with it, but I respect that you have that right. That's one of the great things about being an American is we have a vote. At the end of the day, it's really all we have. Sure, you could send money to a candidate, you could support them financially, but the real power we have as individuals is we have a vote. So I have found this whole election cycle riveting. Anytime I see anything about the election, I feel like I have to read it. It could be very, very distracting. It's been an emotional roller coaster. You know what I'm talking about. Regardless of which of the candidates you favor, it's had to impact you and affect you at an emotional level. Because if you care about this country as I do, you don't want the wrong candidate getting elected. Because that's a 4-year commitment, maybe an 8-year commitment. And there can be a lot of change during that period of time. Some of it good, some of it not so good. So I find this very, very riveting. But if you watch the election and the different campaigns, there is a lot that is being said about selling. Think about it. We have two candidates, each one of them is trying to sell himself or herself to the American people. And the people will buy in or they won't buy in. I mean, realistically, I think pretty much everyone's already made up their decision. And this also tells you something about sales. People know who they're going to vote for. So if they hear a sales message which agrees or supports their beliefs or their biases, then they're going to go with that message. They'll cheer on that candidate. This is called confirmation bias. We all have it. Don't think that you don't. But one of the things we, almost all of us, have the ability to do, I believe, is to really step back from that confirmation bias and to really take a look and evaluate at what, for example, a a political candidate is saying and whether or not it truly makes sense empirically, if we were able to look at it objectively and take our own bias out of it. It's a very difficult thing to do, but it's a very, very valuable skill in life. And it doesn't mean necessarily that you're going to abandon your position, but it at least allows you to feel better about your position if you've looked at it in a very objective way. Difficult to do, but something worth trying. So we all have this confirmation bias. Now, last week, as you know, Donald Trump, a videotape came out which revealed to the country that 10 years ago, he said some things in a what was alleged to have been a private conversation, but yet it was with a TV crew. He was wearing a microphone. He may not have expected the microphone to have been hot, but nevertheless, he said some things that were recorded, and lo and behold, 10 years later, during a political campaign, this is released to the American public. It's a very, very difficult situation to be in. You can't take back the words that you said. So what did Donald Trump try to do? He tried to defend those words. And the way he tried to defend them was by saying that he did something bad, but Bill Clinton also did something bad when Bill Clinton was president. So think about that for a second. What he's saying is, you might think I'm bad, but I'm the same as Bill Clinton. Let me ask you a question. If you were selling your product and someone, let's say someone thought that your competitor's product was bad, was a subpar product, would you want people to think that your product was bad too? Let's say your products are just so similar and people are saying, well, this product, your competitor's product is really better than yours. Would you defend it by saying, no, it's not better. We're both bad. It just doesn't make sense. So I'm not here to talk to you about how Trump should have defended his position, because I really don't know. I don't know if it's going to impact the race at the end of the day. A lot of people think it does. I don't think we know what people are going to do when they go into the election booth. We will find out here shortly. And you may even be listening to this after the election. And who knows, maybe Donald Trump is our president. Maybe Hillary Clinton is our president. Maybe neither one of them is president, because anything can happen. This is a wild and crazy ride. But here's the thing. You don't gain ground by trying to sell yourself as being the same or selling your product as being the same. You see, your key to success is being able to differentiate and distinguish your product where prospects and customers are able to discern some kind of advantage in using yours versus the competitor's product versus keeping up with what they're currently doing, not making any changes. So the first thing is, you have to believe that you have a better product, or that if your product isn't better, that you're able to sell it, present it, service it in a way that it's going to be advantageous to the customer over what they're doing now. You have to believe in it. You have to absolutely believe in it. I'm going to tell you, if you don't believe in your product before you walk out of your house, before you get in your car to go make a sales call, don't go. You're wasting your time. You have to believe that your product is different and that it can improve the customer's condition, the institution's condition, or the patient's condition in some way, or you're not going to succeed. If your product is the same all the way across the board, and you can't present it in a way that the customer can discern an advantageous difference, you lose. So let's say you believe that your customer is different. Because I like to think that unless you're selling a real commodity like a Band-Aid, and even Band-Aids can be distinguished with where it's beneficial at multiple levels, but you're probably not selling anything that's commoditized to that level. There are benefits in your product, in the distribution of your product, in your warranty, in your service, in your pricing, whatever it is, there are differences. So here's the thing. In order for the customer to be able to discern those differences, you, when you present it, you have to be discerned as being different from the sea of competition that's out there. This is one of the biggest challenges in medical sales, is because 96% of the medical sales reps who were walking around going to doctors' offices, hospitals, and clinics, they sound alike other than the name of the product that they're selling or the particular specialty that they're selling to. They sound alike because they are product focused. This doesn't work. If you want to distinguish yourself, it's not enough for your product to be different. You have to present it differently than your competition. You have to sound different. You have to look different. You have to make the customer feel differently. Why is the feel important? Think about that. With everything I just talked about in the election, we could debate the pluses or minuses of Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. But the reality is, every person, when they go to cast that vote, they are going to have an emotional feeling about one or both of the candidates, which is going to determine the lever they pull, the box they check, the Chad they punch out, whatever your voting system is in your state. That's what's going to determine how it happens. It's going to be via emotion. So you, as a medical sales professional, it's equally important that you convey the right type of emotional response, the right type of emotional feeling, which is going to enable the customer to say, I want to know more. I want to take the next step. And the only way you can do that is if you are able to be different, to make your product different, so that there is no question in the customer's mind. You see, the biggest challenge that you face as a medical sales professional today is that products that are similar to yours, there are very few differences where on its own, the customer will determine the difference and decide to buy something different. Very rare. Because in the customer's mind, again, remember who you're selling to. You're selling to physicians, healthcare professionals, nurses, therapists. In their world, if what they have is working, they have too much to do to think about looking for something else. There might be a minor inconvenience, but if they're using a product, it's working for them. So if you walk in and you show your product, and you describe it, and it sounds like the product they already have, guess what? They're not going to waste any energy or time giving it any more thought. They won't, because they have better things to do, like take care of patients, like enter data into their EHR, dictate charts. There's a ton of things they have to do besides talking to sales reps who are incapable of distinguishing their products from what the doctor or the healthcare professional is already using. And it doesn't have to be a clinical product. This applies to any type of product you're selling. If it's a software product, if it's a service, if you can't distinguish it as being different in an advantageous way, why should they listen to you? I mean, really, what would you do that? Let's say you just bought a car. And someone from a car dealership, a competing car dealership from where you bought yours, calls you and says, hey, we'd like you to come test drive our new, I don't know, pick a car, our new Cadillac. Cadillac just came out with a new model. We'd like you to test drive the new Cadillac. You just bought a Mercedes. You're thinking, why do I want to test drive your car? I have one. I have a car. It works. It's comfortable. It's got ice cold air conditioning, which is really important if you live where I live. But there's no reason to do that. So why would your customers, your clinical customers, your customers who are in clinical management, why would they feel any differently if they can't discern your product? I hope you're starting to get this. You have to sound different. It's not what you say. It's how you say it. It's how you present it. It's how you make them feel. You have to make your customers feel differently about your product, probably more than anything else. If they don't feel differently about your product than they feel about the current product they're using, the status quo wins, folks. The status quo will always win if you can't give them a better feeling, a better hope of producing better outcomes somehow, of reducing risk, producing better patient. It's not going to make a difference. So here's my question to you. Do you think that you sound different when you're talking about your widget, your product, whatever it is? I mean, most of you probably do think you do. I can tell you from experience that 96% of the sales reps who are out there selling, they sell the same way. Other than the name of the product, they sound the same. And I got to tell you, reps still continue to say really stupid things. What kind of things am I talking about? Things like, doctor, you know, this product here, it's the best on the market. Oh, and that XYZ product you're using, ours is better. Ours is bigger. Ours is smaller, faster, slower, safer, less expensive, produces more revenue, blah, blah, blah. I mean, come on. Everybody sounds the same. And by the way, the reason you can't speak in those superlatives about your product, let me ask you a question. Play along with me here. Do you think there's a little bit of a conflict of interest in the customer's mind? I mean, you're selling your product and you're saying it's the best. A little bit of a conflict of interest? How many sales reps go in and say, hey, doctor, you should really take a look at our product. It's not the best. The one you're using is much better, but I sell this one. I got to make a living. I got to pay my mortgage. Please buy mine. That doesn't work. You wouldn't sell that way. You wouldn't expect the customer to buy if you sold that way. Nevertheless, so many of you sound exactly alike. So what's the solution? You really have to take a look at the conversations you're having with your customers. And you have to understand how your customer thinks at such a deep level as to be able to put yourself into that person's mind and evaluate as to if you are hearing what you are saying from the customer's perspective, would you buy that product? Would you be interested? Assuming, of course, again, take out the confirmation bias, assuming again that you know nothing about the product, or even something that's more true, you think it's the same. You think all the products are the same. You think that the product that you're showing is the same as the one that the customer's already using. You have to be able to get into the customer's head and determine empirically and honestly whether or not you are able to distinguish your product in a positive way. It's the only way you're going to get ahead. Because if you keep doing what you're doing, if you keep saying what you're saying, you're going to keep getting the results that you're getting. And if you're doing great, I mean, if you've blown quota out of the water, if you're 30, 40, 50% over quota, then don't worry about this. In fact, you don't even need to listen to my podcast anymore because I probably can't help you out. But if you're facing increased competition, if you're losing business either to competitors or to contracts, GPOs, et cetera, then you might want to really consider what you're doing. Now, am I saying that being able to sell effectively is going to help you to overcome every single challenge that you face? No. But it will help you to overcome most of them. In fact, the vast majority of them. Maybe not in a day, maybe not in a week or a month, but at some point in the future, it will. You see, you're in this for the long term. Everything you do matters. Everything you say matters. So here's my advice. Sit down, take a look at your sales conversations, evaluate yourself. More importantly, have others evaluate you. Have your peers, your colleagues, your managers, take a good look at the way that you sell, they'll need to see you sell. They'll need to go on sales calls with you, or they'll need to do role play with you. And here's something you don't want. You don't want someone who's going to say, you know, hey, Bob, that sounds pretty good. I think you're doing fine. You did better than I did. If someone says you did better than I did, say, that's great. Find someone else. Find someone who's going to be critical in a constructive way about what you do and say. Because here's the truth, folks. We can all be better. Everybody. Everybody can be better. You know, I spend a lot of time in the professional speaking world. And what amazes me is the best of the best. I mean, you've probably heard names like Zig Ziglar, Tony Robbins. I could go on and on. But these people who are at the top of their game, they are always looking for ways to get better. Always. They never accept the status quo. That's why we know their names. That's why they're household names. You want to be a household name in your industry, in your territory, specifically in your territory. The way to do that is to do the work. Never be satisfied with where you are. Always look for a way to improve. Find out what others think of your sales conversations. Find out if you are able to distinguish yourself and your products in a way that the customer has an emotional motivation to take the next logical step. Because if that's not happening, you lose. Do the work. Be a professional. Medical sales provides such a great opportunity for those who are willing to commit and pursue a path of excellence. And if you'd like some help with that, I've created a means to help everyone who is really serious about this. And it's not for everyone. If you know that you won't do the work, I wouldn't even suggest that you consider this. But let me ask you to take a look at Medical Sales Academy. Just take a look at the website. Go to medicalsalesacademy.com, all one word, and you could read all about Medical Sales Academy and what it will enable you to do as a medical sales professional, how it will help you to get to where you want to go. And if you'd like more information, just click on the link at the bottom of the page to be notified when we open enrollment again, and we'll be happy to do that. And we'll also hook you up with some videos that'll get you started before that time, which won't cost you anything. And you will learn a lot about selling value and distinguishing the way you approach your customers. So that is all that I have for this episode of the Medical Sales Guru podcast. I hope to be back with you next week. It is my goal to produce a podcast every week. Some weeks I'm on the road and it's just difficult for me to do that. I apologize, but I promise I will try to be here every week to help you succeed as a medical sales professional. And let me remind you that before you head out in the territory that next time, just keep this in mind, that no matter what you do in your medical sales career, the patient always comes first. Stay focused on the patient. That's why you do what you do. If you do that, everything else will fall into place. I promise. So before I make any other promises to you, I'm going to sign off. For the Medical Sales Guru podcast, this is Mace Haroff, and I hope to talk to you again next week. Go out and do some good. Bye for now.